If I haven't met you, my name's Mike. I'm Senior Minister here, and it's my privilege to open God's Word with us this morning. I wonder if you'll pray with me now. Our Father God, as we look again at the wonder of what you've done for us all on the cross, we pray, please, that you'd help me as I speak and us as we think on these things, that we might be encouraged, that you might be honoured in your Son as well, for we ask in his name. Amen. Well, friends, this morning I'm hoping to persuade us or re-persuade us of something really important. The notion that there has never been a more important day in the history of the world than that first Good Friday when Jesus was sacrificed, as we've been reading. And I hope in doing so that you'll be again persuaded to see that Jesus has dealt with all of the things that you might need dealt with. All of the things that you might owe for whatever you might have done in the past, for whatever troubles you. Look at your past, look at your character, looking at the future. There is no better place to look than the death of Jesus. And the way I want to try to persuade us this morning is to see that he is the only viable person who might have the complete debt of mankind's evil placed on him that day at the cross and in the lead up to it, the complete debt of mankind's evil. And we're going to think about that by thinking about that psalm, Psalm 22, and thinking about the different ways that Jesus on the cross paid for every different kind of penalty or punishment that a person might deserve for anything that they might have done. It's a remarkable cry that Jesus made, that we read there, verse 45, 46, if you've got your Bibles open, I'm talking about Matthew 27, when the darkness came all over the land in verse 45, and about 3 PM, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he's quoting the first verse from the psalm that we had read, Psalm 22. And one of the things that does for us is that gives us insight into Jesus' own feelings and thoughts at this time. And of course, he wouldn't have been able, suffering as he would, to say all the words of Psalm 22. And so he just gives us the beginning, the first verse. While we were reading through Matthew's gospel, you would have seen it's a narrative, and so you see things in the third person. But when you look at the psalm, what you can do is you can see things from Jesus' point of view, because it's in the first person. It's him bringing across his own thoughts. And I say his thoughts, though it was written in about 1000 BC by David, King David, all those years before. And one of the remarkable things about this psalm is, yes, it's first of all from the point of view of this ancient king that we may or may not remember things about. This ancient king who had his own struggles for a while. But one of the remarkable things is that there are metaphors he uses that actually seem to fit Jesus' life better than David's, though David wrote it. And so when you look at that psalm and some of the things that we heard, David had spoken about things like his garments, dice being played for them. David had spoke about all his bones being visible. And we don't have stories about that about David, but we do right here about Jesus, just showing the importance of this psalm as prophecy that Jesus could now grab and have on his lips that day he died. But the first thing that he brings across, just in the title of the psalm, my God, why have you abandoned me? Abandonment. You can see why he feels abandoned. He feels abandoned because he's there on the cross, no one's supporting him. And if you look down Psalm 22, you can follow some of the reasons why it looks like he doesn't deserve that abandonment. It includes that he, from his mother's womb, we're told, has followed God. It includes that the Israelites, of which he's a part, in history called out to God and God answered and rescued them. But right here, God does not seem to be rescuing Jesus as he hangs there on the cross. And you continue to read down the psalm, And you can see the different ways that it would be fitting for God to rescue Jesus from the cross. One of the metaphors used has to do with the nature of those who are trying to get him, compared to these strong bulls. This metaphor showing these ones who are out to get Jesus, who are there, that there's no one to support him. That all who see me mock me, says the psalm. So that he's without anybody having a go at him. And so in all of these different ways, you can see why he could feel he's been abandoned by God and undeservedly. Why then have you abandoned me? Why so far from saving me? You know, I've heard of a person say that they feel like they've been cursed by God, or even that their family might have been cursed by God. Because sometimes things can go so badly for a person, they just feel like even God's been out to get them. And oftentimes, well, we don't know whether that could be the case. But, you know, if we look at our life sometimes, we might feel like we might deserve a curse. Maybe we just ignored God, maybe. Maybe there are different parts of our life. When we look back, we might have even made a promise in God's name that we then didn't follow through with. All sorts of different ways we might think, yes, I deserve to be under God's curse. Well, if that's so, here's somebody who did not deserve the curse, who yet was standing under this curse as bad as you could imagine. My God, why have you abandoned me? Said Jesus. But there's a different way that you might feel, that I might feel, like there's a punishment owed to me for some of the things of my past or my present. Because the second aspect I want to bring before us of what Jesus was experiencing there was the physical vulnerability, the mortality of his approaching death. There was a real physical vulnerability there. If you look in verse 30, people took advantage of it in Matthew 27. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again, on the head. Again and again. There was nothing he could do to stop being struck on the head. After they'd mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him, and then they led him away to crucify him. And so there are times when we might, maybe it's in the future, maybe you've experienced it in the past, have this kind of physical vulnerability. Jesus had it here more than anyone you could imagine. They struck him on the head again and again, and then he was hung on the cross naked. And people could do whatever they wanted to him, and they did. And you think to yourself, well, what might that feel like? You know, I visited somebody who's been in an aged care residential home for a long time, a little while back. And this person who'd been in our church long ago has been there a long, long time and unable to care for themselves, really, unable to even feed themselves, really. And as I sat there, they were unable to put any words together that made sense. And the thing that struck me was their vulnerability, because there was somebody sitting right next to them. And I'm sure that this was a regular thing, but how to interact with such a person was what was I was struggling with. I was thankful that they weren't sitting alone. But it struck me too, if this person wanted to, they could say things or even physically do things that would be taking advantage of this person's vulnerability. I don't know that I've ever really seen someone as physically vulnerable. And yet Jesus is more vulnerable here. There may be times we look back at our life and say, well, there's some time that I took advantage of someone's vulnerability. And so what might be fitting for me is to be in that same situation. If we feel that, we can see that Jesus took that vulnerability like nobody else ever had at this point on the cross. And people took advantage of it. And so here, in another way, we can see Jesus taking the complete debt of mankind's evil. And we're meant to stare and pause at it and be convinced again. I'm hoping we're being convinced again. There isn't any other viable candidate for somebody who's innocent, who has here experienced the whole gamut of what you and I might deserve for the things we've done wrong. Let me bring us to a third point. Notice how he is mocked and rejected. And that it's combined here with mocking God as his God. In Matthew's gospel, you see it in verse 41. In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders mocked him. He saved others, they said, but he can't save himself. He's the king of Israel. Let him now come down from the cross and we'll believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God. And it was taking up a fulfillment of what happened, of what was said back by David in Psalm 22. Do you remember? In verse 16, in Psalm 22. All my bones are on display. People stare and gloat over me. Verse 8, he trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Seems like an almost mirror image, the kind of insult there that David speaks of, that then was cast on Jesus. But there is that horror, isn't there? If we're thinking of times when we would not want to revisit an event in our life. If you're like me, you can think back to an event. For me, it's in a certain schoolroom that I don't even want to tell you the details of. But when there are multiple people mocking you in a certain way, maybe if it gets to the position of being a chant, this feels a little like a chant, it's multiple people, then you're getting towards the worst kind of experiences there are. And of course, some of us have been involved in such chants, such mockeries of others. Usually for us, it wouldn't have gone to the extent of mocking someone in connection to their God, especially in connection to the true God and their following him, but that's how it is here. One of the things, again, we're supposed to see is that of all the kinds of things we might have done to others, they were done to Jesus here. So that there is no greater penalty, greater infliction of suffering, of things that we might deserve, than that Jesus receives here. And we can go on to talk about legal and moral condemnation. He stood condemned both before the law of the Romans and also before the religious leaders of the true God. And there's a different taste that comes into somebody's mouth when they're condemned before the law of the land. And again, when they're condemned by religious leaders. He experienced all of that. We don't have time to do any more in looking at all the different ways in which, at the death of Jesus, he is paying the complete debt of mankind's evil. But I hope that's been enough to show you again, there is no other plausible person who's experienced all this and not deserved it, any of it. And so there is no other plausible person you can look to, and me, for somebody who has paid to the maximum extent anything from your past or present in your character or all the rest that you might deserve. And so do not look to anyone else, but make sure you do look to this one, to the Lord Jesus himself, to wipe that slate clean for you. But that's what it's all about. This Good Friday, that's what we're remembering. Nobody else could do it, but this one did it because he loved you that much. And so as we've looked at this amazing act of Jesus in history, he willingly went through all of this. How do we respond? One thing we can do is we can look through these different things that he received that we may well have inflicted on others in our own way, and be determined to care for those who are vulnerable, to not be part of that kind of mockery, but to stand up for those who might be so mocked, to be caring for those who might feel they've been abandoned by God, and so on, in thanks for what Jesus has done in winning us eternal life and forgiveness and all the rest. Above all, though, I hope that all of us this morning, above all, have again a much even deeper than before appreciation, love, thankfulness, and worship for the one who has rescued you when you didn't deserve it, who loved you when you didn't love him, who did all that was required. It's a very good Friday. Why don't we pray? Now, Father God, we admit that we are far from pleasing to you of our own selves. We see in what Jesus went through that he needed to go through that. Our need for forgiveness in all kinds of ways. And so, Father, please humble us this morning as we see these things. Give us true thankfulness. Help us to respond with all our lives in thankfulness and praise to the one who went through this great death and suffering for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.